Alienated Nation, the new quest for liberty. Guess who's coming to Dinar? August 2nd, 1990, Iraq invaded Kuwait and absconded with cash and gold and claimed Kuwait as Iraqi territory. 3 days later, President George Bush stated that the Iraqi invasion would not stand. The Kuwaiti dinar was taken off the world market and declared a stolen currency, with exception of the locally held currency and that which was legitimately purchased. Very few people knew what to do at the time. The rest of the world was transformed into news junkies as News at 11 became a 24-hour-a-day newscast called CNN. While we could not take our eyes off the world's first and greatest reality program, the currency barons were behind the scenes, staging for a trillion-dollar currency deal. On June 8, 1991, less than a year later, the victory parade was held in Washington, D.C. A new Kuwaiti dinar was issued, and legitimate currency was traded for the new currency. The Kuwaiti dinar increased in value to be worth $3.40 in a period of 10 years. Had an investor had the foresight to invest $1,000 in 1991, they would have $3.3 million today. Enter the Iraq War. Would-be investors who missed the boat last time are trying to cash in on the opportunity. Does the Iraqi dinar have similar potential? That's what everyone wants to know. Lords of Finance, the bankers who broke the world, by Liaquat Ahmed, is about how the four leading central banks from the U.S., U.K., France, and Germany navigated in and out of World War I and financed recoveries and German reparations. These central banks went off and on the gold and new dollar standards by manipulating their exchange and interest rates and much more. It was a world steeped in insider trading and special knowledge that allowed financial powerhouses to manipulate the military-industrial complex to virtually enslave the entire world in a matrix of debt. This is how money and power, military and otherwise, go hand in hand. Global dominance today is based upon the profits made during that war. In fact, as has already been stated in this book, the only thing the folks down at Wars R Us are not prepared for is the absence of war, also known as peace. It is one thing to be safe, and it is quite another to be all dressed up and have no one to kill. The U.S. Treasury estimates that more than 2 million Americans own the Iraqi dinar. These small investors own this investment for one reason: to make a windfall profit when the Iraqi dinar goes back on the market at the new value. Iraq, as a sovereign country, must revalue its currency. There is an enormous war debt to pay. There are capital improvements they need to make in their own country. Iraq has in its possession the second largest oil reserves in the world, and they have an almost unique ability to become the shining democracy in the Middle East, with streets paved with gold and clean water for everyone. The Bush administration did set this entire plan up, which is fashioned after his father's Kuwaiti dinar revalue back in 1993. Would the revaluation benefit the USA? The capital gains taxes and the fact that the U.S. Treasury has in its possession approximately 3.5 trillion Iraqi dinar indicate that this is not a scam. That is, unless it is being perpetrated by the administration on the American people. There are several differences that make this entire opportunity irresistible. First, the Iraqi economy is many times larger than the Kuwaiti economy, so there is much more currency in circulation than the Kuwaiti dinar. Second, the currency held by millions of Americans and even more around the world was not stolen. Legitimate Iraqi notes were purchased for about a tenth of a penny per dinar. Third, the largest owner of the dormant currency is the U.S. Treasury. Did the Bush administration plan on, and is the Obama administration still considering, paying for part or all of the Iraq war by collecting taxes from the revaluation of the dinar? You can take that to the bank. Historically, the Iraqi dinar has always been about $3 or $4 to the dinar, and this is the hope that many investors in the United States have, that once again the dinar will reach this status. The Federal Reserve supposedly has trillions of dinars as well. The leaders of Iraq have promised the people of Iraq that the dinar will reach the levels it once held, and this has further emboldened Americans to know that their investment will pay vast dividends. Hardly a week goes by that the Iraqi press does not discuss progress made toward this end. President Obama signed into law the right for American citizens to buy dinars. And currently, the discussion is that Americans will pay 15% of their return to the government in taxes. There is no tax loophole for currency trading. Currently, Americans own roughly $3 trillion. If the dinar revalues to a rate of $3 per dinar, this will lead to about $9 trillion in new revenue that Americans have, 15% of which would go directly to the U.S. government. This does not include the billions that these men and women would spend on goods and services that would lead to a boost to the economy and more jobs for our citizens. The businesses from which they purchase all this stuff must also pay taxes on the revenue. You get the picture? Will the U.S. Treasury allow millions of average Americans who made legitimate investments in currency to reap the same profits as they take from the exchange? The answer is that it does not matter much. In the grand scheme of things, if the U.S. Treasury reaps the profits they planned, the average American debt could be reduced by as much as 50%, whether or not the average little investor gets to trade his currency. After all, what is one more loss of $5,000 to your life savings? Nothing. It will be infuriating to not be able to turn that into $15 million, but it won't be the end of the world if it turns out that only the government gets to cash in. Heaven help them at the ballot box if that happens, but hear me out. What will be the effects of this? I'm glad you asked that question. Let me begin to answer the question with a question. Who owns most of the American debt? That's right, China. China's economy is the second fastest growing economy in the world, behind only India, and it is largely fueled by two things. First, China's currency is held artificially at a low fixed value by their government. This means that foreign investment in their country is easy, and the sale of Chinese goods is even easier. How do they make up the difference in value? You guessed it. The interest paid to them on the American debt. After all, what better hedge is there than bonds backed by the faith and credit of the United States of America? Well, there is a way to reduce the yield on those bonds by about 75%. Pay them off. The Chinese economy may implode as free market forces will demand growth, but there will be no capital to fuel it. That giant sucking sound we heard when all our jobs went to China may sound like the south end of a horse that's eaten too much alfalfa. Once people taste of prosperity, it cannot be jerked away without the teeth coming out after you in the process. If the U.S. Treasury pays off the American debt held by China, it will collapse their economy. The U.S. will be out of the deficit business unless someone goes absolutely hog wild with the new government spending. Yeah, like that has ever happened before. I hope it doesn't make the planners at Wars R Us book flights for the Far East. Second, the capital at the banks that had been loaned out to the U.S. government will now be back in the cash drawer, so to speak. This will be panic time for the major banks. Without the money falling from heaven paid to them by the interest on the U.S. debt, they will be in a lending crisis. Who's going to borrow all that money and make payments? What are they going to do with all that cash? Enter U.S. small business. With the U.S. government out of the borrowing business, because the budget better damn well be balanced from here on out, there will be capital to lend. The credit will be extended to American business to expand, hiring people, lots of people. Working people spend money to buy things. The economy tiger will be out of the cage, and it will be up to the skills of Mr. Bernanke to tame it. Interest rates will skyrocket in an attempt to curb what they perceive as inflation. Actually, everyone knows there is only one thing that causes inflation. Government printing money. The fact that people are working and paying taxes and buying stuff and paying taxes and paying off their debts means the economy is going to grow. Growth is not inflation. There's one more thing. If President Obama agrees to allow the Iraqi dinar to revaluate, and he allows American investors, both large and small, to cash in on this revaluation, it will be the windfall he has been looking for. The unemployment rate will drop to less than 5%, the national debt will be cut in half, and the budget will be balanced. The banks will be lending again, letting small business back into the economy, which will add about 1 million jobs per month. Mark my words, if this occurs, Republicans will not get within 1,000 miles of the White House and may lose the House as well. President Obama will be the Democrat of the century. Now, if the Democrats know this, and now you know it, there's a 50% chance the Republicans know it too. So is it Obama who is holding back the economy, or is it the Republicans who will not allow this to happen on his watch? Again, the alienation of America is facilitated by the greed and lust of men for power. I encourage you to pay close attention to the events between May and October of 2012. The presidential election will start the first Tuesday after Labor Day, 2012. If the revaluated Iraqi dinar is allowed to trade, Obama will win. Perhaps part of the alienation of the nation is that the people who would like to see the Democrats lose this election are also the ones who stand to personally gain from the entire Iraqi dinar caper to succeed. It's all right, I suppose, if every bird flies into the sights of their gun, but not their neighbors too. Interesting sociological quandary, wouldn't you say?